Hey, man, is that the Rock News Weekly podcast?
Yeah, man. Well, turn it up, man.
This is Rock News Weekly. Every week, we bring you all the latest headlines in rock, metal, indie, grunge, alt, and classic rock news, this week's new releases, this week in music history trivia, movies, pop culture, and more. Now on to this week's episode. This week on the Rock News Weekly podcast, week of April 15th, 2024, season 6, episode number 15. This week, we talk about System of a Down, announcing a historic final show of 2024 to take place at Golden Gate Park in San Francisco with the Deftones, Mars Volta, and more. Aerosmith announces their rescheduled tour dates for 2024, and a new study shows how much the average music fan spends on band t-shirts in their lifetime. Plus, this week in rock and roll history trivia, weekly WTF, and so much more. Everything's up, rocknewsweekly.com. Watch us live every Sunday, twitch.tv/rocknewsweekly, and on demand, youtube.com/rocknewsweekly.
All right, it's time for the Rock News Weekly podcast. What's up, everybody? Chris here, as well as David. How's it going, man?
Hello, I'm good.
Nice. How was the week?
I slept in this morning.
Yes, it was, slept in?
Yeah, it was hot. And then it got cold.
I know. It's very strange April weather, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Very strange.
But it brings the May flowers.
That's right. April showers brings May flowers. All right. Well, we got lots to talk about this week. Let's get to it. What do we got here? All right. So System of a Down, historic final show of 2024 is going down. We got to talk about that. That's pretty cool. Golden Gate Park, Deftones, Mars nice. Volta on that. Nice. Aerosmith, rescheduled tour dates. We'll go over those.
Oh, okay.
And a new study showing how much the average music fan spends on band t-shirts in their lifetime. This can be an interesting one. So, and they also show by state, like which of the popular bands, the most popular t-shirts apparently that are selling in the states, which is
beginning
great.
With my first Soundgarden t-shirt.
Yep.
And then I had a Silverchair t-shirt.
Silverchair, yeah. Killer, right? All right, so let's kick it off with the tour news. Aerosmith announcing their final tour, rescheduling the dates. This was supposed to happen last year, but it's happening now. Almost the same run of dates. They just adjusted a lot of them kind of slightly. Kicks off September 20th in Pittsburgh. Black Crowes on there, an artist by the name of Teddy Swims. I'm not familiar with him. Are you?
Teddy Swims.
Special guest Teddy Swims.
Yeah, I do like the name. I do like his name.
Yeah, I don't know
sounds
anything
like
about
the,
him.
Sounds like C dot Run. You ever read those books when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Teddy
dot
Swims.
Swims. Dot, C right. dot Swim. No, I don't know. So anyway, he's opening on some of the dates. The dates that we got in California here, San Francisco, November 30th, December 4th, San Jose, LA's December 7th. So check that out. Peace Out Tour with Aerosmith. It is on. Tickets just went on sale on Friday. So, also, that just went on sale on Friday, and I heard that it's already sold out, is this System of a Down and Deftones show with the Mars Volta, Viagra Boys, and Vows.
Viagra Boys, eh?
I guess so. That's a clever
Is that
name.
Named after the when you guys used to try and put Viagra in my sandwiches back in high school?
Yes, that was our nickname, Viagra Boys.
Yeah. I was just Viagra Boy.
Just Viagra.
It made
me
super.
Got Viagra'd.
Viagravated?
Yeah, Viagravated. I like that. There you go.
So this looks good. This looks good, and also I just wanted to say on this topic, the Deftones are like really back around here, at least, you know. My students at the college, they're crazy over, like, they like nu metal.
Yeah,
they're like crazy over it. They're like, this person I didn't expect at all, she's like, yeah, I'm a Limp Bizkit fan. I was like, what, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I know, it is. It's having like a resurgence right now, and this lineup is a definite, you know, indicator of that. It sold out 50,000 tickets in about a half hour.
Wow.
So, yeah, for a single day festival. This is the first time.
I mean, I could see it. System of a Down and Deftones. I mean, that's...
Sure.
They never got bad.
The unique thing here is that this is the first time that they're actually doing a single day ticketed event at Golden Gate Park, believe it or not. They've never done that before. It's always been festivals or something along the lines of a free show. But never a single day ticketed event. is usually pretty tough because you have to set up massive infrastructure. Usually it doesn't make sense to do it for a single day, but they're using the same infrastructure.
Yeah, and you have to be done by 10.
Yeah.
You can't, you have, at 10 o'clock, you can't make any noise.
Yeah, this is from 3 to 10 p.m. from what I understand. So the thing with Outside Lands Festival is taking place the weekend before. They're going to leave the main stage up. They're going to take the rest of it down, and then it's going to play that single-day festival there with System of a Down, Deftones.
Do you think it'll have the same sort of clientele?
No, I think it's going to be
a lot of people walking around in their lingerie.
I don't think it's going to be I don't think it's going to be out like the Coachella kind of vibe that Outside Lands
is.
This is going to be all black shirts and heavy metal. Jinko jeans.
Long hair and Jinko jeans.
You know, face paint. It's going to be a good time.
Juggalos.
Basically. It's going to be killer. So this is the second show and last show System of a Down is going to play for the year. They're only playing two shows. Sick New World Festival in Vegas later this month in April, April 27th. And then they're doing the one in San Francisco here in August. Okay. And that's it. Serge Tankian says, quote, "After years of touring, the travel that's involved, it's one of those things where it's not the top priority on my list in life." And I understand that. They got to do these one-off shows, but still makes sense for them, and we get to see them in a cool venue. APE, Another Planet Entertainment, says they're going to be doing this in the future. He says, this is Alan Scott. He says, "We wanted to host something that's unique and rare, not just an artist that's on tour, and it's another stop for them." So it says System of a Down, very particular in what concerts they do and how many they do. Deftones from Northern California, bigger than they've ever been in the history of the band. Yeah. It felt like a really good timing to put those two together. Add a few bands to play prior to them. We want to put together a lineup that was not only unique, but culturally relevant. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, interesting. Like, yeah, just speaking of the popularity, I think a lot of it has to do with TikTok.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Like these little song, like a song and a video, like gets really, really popular. And people are like, what is
that? Who's that band? Oh, yeah. System of a Down. It's from 20 years ago. Yeah. Oh, man. When are they going to play again?
Yeah. You know? Really interesting.
Deftones, too. I heard some little clips of certain songs like Cherry Waves and other stuff that were going viral on social media. And I'm like, wow, these are deep cuts from the band that somehow it picks out a little line in it and it goes viral on TikTok or whatever, you know?
Maybe that's why they have to get rid of TikTok. Because Rage Against the Machine is getting popular,
right? They don't want to give power to the people again. All right. Anyway, let's move on. Pretty cool concert though. They're in Golden Gate Park. All right. The big story this week. It was a big article that came out. And Polestar does this kind of every now and then, and this was a good study.
Super fun and interesting.
Yeah. Custom Inc., one of the biggest like suppliers of like T-shirts and custom designs. They did this study. Along with Polestar to kind of put this information together. So it was found that heavy metal fans out of any other music genre spend more on band T-shirts than any other genre, almost certain ones combined. Heavy metal fans stood out for unparalleled commitment to music-themed apparel, owning an average of 10 band shirts per person, the highest number across all music genre fans. This community's spending habits also revealed heavy metal fans as the most financially devoted, having spent an average of $500 on band shirts in their lifetime, which is an average of $100 more than other fans. So before we get further, how much do you think, if you had to guess, on just band T-shirts have you spent money on?
In my life?
Yeah, in your life so far.
Oh, I think it's got to be
musician and band.
It's got to be, you know, several hundreds. Yeah. Like, you know.
Around that, maybe.
Yeah.
Close to that.
I mean, the person I think... So, and I was thinking about this friend of mine who is really into hardcore. Oh, and he was on the podcast.
Right, yes, ago. Yes.
He buys a T-shirt a week. I mean, every week he goes to a show and he buys a new T-shirt like, every week. And it's like a real big thing. It's the, you know, the support that you show for the artists right there. And I think it partly has to do with the like proximity that you have to a lot of the musicians. It's the style of the concert.
Yeah,
you know?
I think it's a combo of all of that. It's like it's a direct way of supporting the artist, one of the biggest cuts of money the artist can get these days, right? It's also, like you said, a way of remembering the show that you just saw, the tour that you saw. I love getting the tour shirt with the tour dates on the back. That way, whenever I, you know, see it again, I'm like, oh, yeah, it was at the Regency Ballroom in San Francisco. That was a cool night, you know, whatever, right? And then also the designs on a lot of these heavy metal bands, like we go through the artwork every week on some of these albums, and they're just really, they're crazy and creative cool and attention grabbing. And I feel like they're some of the most creative stuff out there.
Well, and also there's like a down-to-earthness, I feel like.
Yeah.
When it comes to these bands and how they tour and when, like, there is like this down, I mean, I mean, lately I've just been to lots of hardcore shows, and it's just like, they're there with you. Like, you're just like next to them talking, and it's really not the same.
It's a sense
sort
of community.
Like, yeah, it's a real sense of community. And so,
yeah,
I feel like, yeah, there's that commitment to financial sort of like support of these artists.
And
it's
a direct way of doing that.
Community.
Yeah. And you get something cool out of it too. You get the shirt, right? Yeah. I think it's a win-win. And I think that's why it can be repeated so many times with so many different bands, right?
Yeah.
excuse me. So where's the best place to buy? Concerts, live events. They say 57% of fans seizing the opportunity. Live performances is the dominant place instead of buying it online. Or I don't know about you. Is that the main thing that you notice for yourself as well?
Now that I have like a job, yeah. Like before, it would have been like, all right, I got to get it at the thrift shop or whatever.
Right.
But like having a job that you can actually spend some money, then and I'm like, hey, I can actually be at this concert. And then I'm like, hey, I'm going to support these guys. So, yeah.
Definitely. It says 34% admitted to owning a concert tee for an event they've never attended. So I can definitely, I think I'm guilty of that. I have a shirt or two that, but I don't think it's a specific shirt that says I was there.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a fake event shirt that I'm wearing that I wasn't at the event.
Well, another thing too is smaller shows. I mean, shoot, going to, you know, some sort of like giant, you know, like a Coldplay. Like my family really loves Coldplay.
A
huge show.
Stadium.
I don't buy
show.
It there.
Right.
Right? Because I'm like, dude, they're making tons of money. Like, I'm not buying it there.
Yeah, the $50 stadium shirt.
Yeah. Like super expensive, and you're like, dude,
but
they're already making.
You're talking
money.
Like you go to like the Warfield, Fillmore, or a small venue. Go out and support them. You know they're gonna get that money directly.
Yep.
Yeah. Another point too. Is the smaller venues usually don't take a cut. The bigger venues do. And that's why they're $50 for a shirt at the Shoreline.
You're just sending it.
Because you're giving $10 to the venue, and they have to mark it up that much because they're taking 10% or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's pretty shitty. But that's a whole nother thing. All right, so heavy metal artist t-shirts by city and state. So check this out. These are all like, I think, the state capitals. Or the big some of the biggest cities. I see it's Anaheim, California, so that's not obviously the biggest. And then, so it's by state and city. So they do some of these. These are different. So System of a Down was the biggest in California.
Biggest in California.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
And then, but in California, they also had Megadeth as the biggest.
I would say, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, Megadeth. Or
Metallica.
Yeah, Metallica.
I think it's kind of funny that Megadeth maybe edged that out a little bit because they're both California bands.
Yeah.
So just looking on this.
Like Moths to Flame.
I know there's some of them that are kind of. That I like North Lane in Wisconsin, I guess.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with
North Lane in Utah as well?
Are you familiar with that group? I've
no.
never even heard of them.
North Lane, let's see. Album cover search.
And then there's some other ones here, like Megadeth, also in Nebraska, there it looks like. Testament in Wyoming, I think. North Lane is also in Utah.
Yeah, Utah. So I'm like, what's going on here?
Are they a Mormon group?
Yeah. Saving souls for... Okay,
oh, they're also in Maine. North Lane in Maine, too?
Australian heavy metal band formed in 2009.
Interesting. Yeah, it's just funny how like these kind of things work out.
Dan Enda.
Anyway,
the
so...
Immortal Five Finger Death Punches.
And look at some of these other ones. Like they have like...
Stockton, California.
Yeah, Nightwish is huge in Stockton,
Nightwish.
California, apparently.
Is that because they all wish to go out and steal cars at night?
Machine Head, I know, is huge in Oakland because that's their home.
Yeah,
you know, their home city or whatever.
Do they have San Francisco up there? It's got to be.
Let's see here. Santa Ana is Testament. So Testament's a Bay Area. San Francisco's Opeth.
Opeth.
Wow. Yeah, they beat out Metallica.
I guess Metallica is too gauche.
Yeah.
Opeth, too pedestrian.
Opeth is also in Sacramento, too, there. So Madison, Wisconsin, Meshuga. Nice. All right. Well, let's move on to some of the more things in this study.
Like
it's really cool. Check it out on Custom Ink. They have it on their website if you guys want to look at it. What band? Well, we just kind of went all through this. This is all the states. Name three songs, guy. You know, one of those guys that's like, hey, they'll come up to you wearing a band t-shirt. Can you even name three songs from the band t-shirt that you're wearing? I've never had that happen to me.
But well, I think it happens mostly to, it's like a gendered and sort of sex kind of thing.
I think
thing,
it's a generational
like
thing, too.
Yeah, old, yeah, an age
thing.
The
old
thing.
Guys.
It's like old dudes walking up to him and be like, do you even know what Nirvana is?
Yep.
Right?
I had one where I was wearing a Roger Waters shirt and some old guys like, he said some kind of a comment like, oh, do you even know what Pink Floyd, or how would you have seen him or something like that? And I'm like, yeah, this is a tour shirt. I actually saw
he's
him
still around.
You know, saw him in 2014 or whatever. Oh yeah, oh, wow. But they like to have that kind of like a generational thing, you know, like they've seen the originals.
I know the truth.
You just got that shirt at Target.
I can't wait until I can like full throated do that. Just be like,
be an old man.
Yeah, just be like,
and just
do you even know who the Offspring is? Are you even sure if you know what Sugar Ray is?
You know, the
name me three songs from Sugar
the
Ray.
Deep cuts from Sugar Ray.
What's the one? Come, my lady. Who is that again?
That was
we were talking about him.
That was the child molester.
Yeah, he's like a total perv. Like, what the hell? Like, why they have that song?
What was it called? Crazy Town.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy Town.
Good gosh. Oh gosh.
Yeah, Butterfly. That song.
Butterfly.
From Crazy Town.
Yeah.
Oh my god. All right. It says, on average, the average music fan across all genres had 6 music artist t-shirts. So that seems like low for me. I know for sure that I have way more than that, obviously. The heavy metal average was 10 per
I think
person.
For me lately, that's about how much.
Yeah.
Because I'm too fat for all my clothes, so I like stopped buying anything. I'm like, I got to see where I stop. Once I reach my equilibrium blubber weight, then I'll start buying more shirts again.
See, the most popular is short sleeve, obviously, but hoodies second place. I like getting hoodies, too. Posters, that's definitely for me. That's big. I have a lot of posters. I love getting posters. Long sleeve and sweatshirt. Yeah, I hardly ever get those. Interesting. So it says about $400.
Long sleeve seems like that was a thing a while ago.
Yeah.
Like everyone with the 9-inch nails, long sleeve, black t-shirt.
They're coming back in style now because of that. I think because it was like kind of that 90s gothic.
They like
early 90s, 2000s.
They like turned into emo.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
It's coming back. All right, so there you go. Pretty cool study. Check it out, customink.com, you know, for the full article. Pretty cool. Mark Knopfler, we talked about this a couple weeks back with all the different artists that are on this track and album in general. It's called One Deep River. It's his 10th solo album, first in 6 years. 12 songs. It's got a bunch of cool stuff on it, but One Deep River is the one that has a bunch of people on there. We remember the one that he did for charity. It was for the Teenage Cancer Trust in the UK and the Teen Cancer America. Yeah, so it was an all-star version.
A couple years back. Right?
Yeah. Well, it was this year that they recorded it. Yeah, no, it was this year.
Man, time flies.
But the thing was, it was an older Mark Knopfler song from 1983. They redid it with a bunch of guest guitarists on it this year. Bruce Springsteen, Eric Clapton, David Gilmour, Queen's Brian May, the Hoots Pete Townshend, all of them are on it. Raised money for the Teenage Cancer Trust. He's also, we talked about it just last week, or the week before, he's launching that TV show with AC/DC frontman Brian Johnson. It's called...
I was just wondering if he was also going to include Brian Johnson of... what's the name of the company that you can extend your life cycle? Oh, dang it. Sorry.
I don't know.
Sorry, I should have thrown that in there.
No, that's funny. I don't know who it was. Yeah,
that guy's
guy.
Name is also Brian Johnson.
Yeah,
right.
I think so.
Can't catch that the first time.
Johnson and Knopfler's Music Legends is the name of the show, coming out April 25th. He also sold off 123 of his personal guitars for that same charity at auction earlier this year. So Mark Knopfler doing some great things. All right,
yeah, that's
it for the rock news. Let's get to some birthdays here. Let's do it. All right, David, take it away, man.
All right, folks. We've got Izzy Stradlin of Guns N' Roses. I was born in 1962.
Yeah, these are the dates. For April 8th to the 14th, and I put the date on the left, so his actual birthday.
Nice. Steve Howe of Yes is, born in 1947.
He also cosplays as Gollum, as you could tell, from Lord of the Rings.
Striking resemblance. I play the guitars. It's a pretty impressive.
Kevin Martin of Candlebox was born in 1969. Mike Mashoke of Stained, one of my favorite
Your
bands.
Your favorite, yep.
Was born in 1970. Brian Setzer of Setzer of Stray Cats was born in 1959.
Oh yeah, real quick, we're gonna see Lee Rocker from the Stray Cats at the Rockabilly event next weekend in Las Vegas.
I was gonna say he's Stray Cats one of the sort of rockabilly staples.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially
the other one.
The
other one is like the Cherry Poppin' Daddies. Or...
No. Those are '90s like swing era knockoff. Kind of bands.
Okay.
That was like during the swing
revival.
This
is the real.
And those are swing bands, yeah.
Okay.
The rockabilly guys like Stray Cats are usually trios, stand up bass.
Yeah, that guitar right there is really.
Yeah.
Gives me rockabilly vibes.
Yeah, he's the one of the originators of that for sure. But no, like Cherry Poppin' Daddies and all that shit.
They're you know you love them?
They're
Mighty Mighty Boss Tones?
Yeah, that was all. Well, no, that was ska.
Actually, that's ska.
Weren't the swing. Like, I'm thinking of Squirrel Nut Zippers.
Squirrel Nut Zippers.
Cherry Poppin' Daddies, those guys. That was that swing revival that happened in the late 90s.
Late 90s.
Whatever happened to that?
God,
so weird, man.
I think it's because all the Mormons got married. They didn't have any swing music to dance to anymore.
That's what it was. Okay.
Nigel Pulsford of Bush. Born in 1965. Brennan Urie of Panic at the Disco.
Oops.
Born in 1987. Look at that. He's got his little Michael Jackson jacket on.
I know, right?
It's
pretty
nice.
Slick.
Guy Berryman of Coldplay. Born in 1978. Nicholas Lofton Hexum of 311. Nick Hexum.
Yeah.
We got to call Danny and...
Come original. Come original.
Dang it. Everything is... Sorry, you said come and I'm back to crazy town again. Come, my lady. Grassroots for your mother. Art Alexakis of Everclear.
I think he's also
Everclear.
I think he's also part of the Elven tribe from Lord of the Rings.
Right? Wow, his coloring. I always thought
he like
must have bleached his hair.
Yeah, that is the whitest hair.
Do you think it's bleached?
I don't know.
Just done it.
Look
all
at his.
Years?
I think we're getting a.
There's something growing in there.
Yeah, look at the sideburn and the eyebrows are
so
not
I guess
white.
He does bleach his hair, but he's done that all these years.
Yeah.
I wonder if there was
it's
ever
just
a moment in between.
Fried
he's
now.
Like my mom. not like that, but the frosted tips.
Yep.
Just part of the staple. John Kay. Classic of Steppenwolf. Was born in 1944.
Yep.
Herbie Hancock, 1940.
The legend.
And, you know, it is a veritable...
A stained weekend.
Stained... A Lollapalooza... Or a I don't know the word. Born in 1972. Mark Ford of the Black Crows. Was born in 1966. Max Weinberg of the E Street Band. Oh, yeah. I was born in 1951. Jack Cassidy of Jefferson Airplane was born in 1944. Wynn Butler of Arcade Fire was born in 1980. Richie Blackmore of Deep Purple was born in 1970. Is
All
that
right.
true?
Yeah.
How can he?
Oh no, that is not. No, you're right. I think that should be 1950 at least.
Yeah, 19. I would imagine like 1950.
Yeah, that's
like a typo.
That's a typo, and I think that's. I don't know.
That's
right. Yeah, he's about our age.
He's our age.
Yeah.
He does look,
now it has me questioning the other years.
Yeah, like, he does look like maybe, I don't know, he's summoning a poltergeist. But he's probably our age.
All right. Trivia time. Let's get to some trivia. Let's do it.
This week
in rock and roll history.
Trivia.
All right, this week in rock and roll history trivia. This week in 1961, a then unknown singer-songwriter gives his first solo performance at Gertie's Folk City in New York City's Greenwich Village as the opening act for John Lee Hooker. Not bad.
Wow, not bad.
Pretty cool lineup here, huh? Who was it? Was it Neil Diamond, Roy Orbison, Bob Dylan, or was it Beatnik Bongo Crosby and his avant-garde Cocaine Cats of Greenwich Village, which is David Crosby with a short blonde bob cut and black sunglasses, simply stares at the crowd and slowly smokes his cigarette as the rest of the band dresses up as members of the Broadway production Cats while freebasing cocaine and playing the bongos. That sounds like a pretty
short,
cool
long
show.
Bob cut.
Yeah. Like an Andy Warhol.
Yeah, like an Andy Warhol. Does he have a beret on?
Yeah, off to the side.
And some sunglasses? Did you have sunglasses?
Yeah, black sunglasses.
I'm gonna guess Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan, huh? 1961. Yeah, probably That's right around that time for a lot of these guys. Bob Dylan. You're absolutely correct.
Look
at the original poster here.
Got one. That's cool.
Gertie's Folk City. Held over by popular demand, Thursday, April 23rd, John Lee Hooker, country blues singer, and Bob Dylan. So, pretty cool.
So, that's supposed to be Bob Dylan's face in watercolor?
No, I think it's just a stain.
The old poster stain.
Yeah. Gertie's Folk City, New York Center Folk Music. Look at the old old place there. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Bit of history.
Some new rock and metal albums out this week. David, take it away, man. Check it
All
out.
All right. Benighted has come out with Ekbom season. So yeah, that's a good one.
She's like a half spider,
half spider,
demonic lady.
Yeah. So, but why does she have the legs on both sides?
Well, it's like a spider, like eight legs.
Yeah,
like,
I know, but I mean, she's like, one half is humanish and the other half is spidery.
I don't think we need to get too deep into this because I don't think
consistent.
I don't think they thought that much into it.
Mom, where are you from? What are you doing? All right, Blue Oyster Cult. Look at that.
I don't know why that one came out so bad.
Ghost
my apologies.
Stories.
Yeah, my apologies. Like the resolution on this one.
It looks cool like that.
It kind of does.
It doesn't look like that. It
no,
looks cool.
It's
all like kind of washed out.
Yeah, it's kind of washed out. But there's ghosts in there, kind of thing. It looks pretty neat. This one came out. Okay.
Oh, Exist. Hijacking the Zeitgeist. I like that title.
Yeah.
That's a cool one.
And it's a cool album cover, too. It's kind of neat.
It's kind of campy, you know.
It's a cell phone, it looks like. And it looks like, you know, he's like being pulled down into the technology.
That has some like boomer like energy. Like,
right?
These kids these days.
Get
right?
sucked in their phones.
Sucked into their phones. Greyhaven. Stereo Grief.
I like the vinyl on that.
That's pretty. I like that a lot, actually.
I haven't seen too many
that
like
gives
that.
Me a jazz sort of very
yeah like, or like a Flaming Lips or something
yeah like very tasteful yeah. kind of
cool stuff
simple
yep.
Heavy Temple, Garden of Heathens.
Garden of Heathens, isn't that great?
And there's like a combination of like a the Parthenon with it almost looks like, is that like a skull on top of the Parthenon there?
Yeah
and it's all like ooey goozy, but it also could kind of look like a spaceship.
Yeah, it looks like it's in space, like another planet.
Yeah,
like they're coming out of the caves.
Yeah, and they're like fawns.
Yeah,
Mr. Tumnus.
That's good stuff.
They're coming out of the door from the wardrobe.
Oh, that's right. From the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Johnny Thunders, Cosa Nostra.
I couldn't find one.
Mud Club.
Sorry. Couldn't find one for that one, but it is coming out.
Okay, cool. Linkin Park, Paper. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh, this is singles that were not released. Oh, wow. Paper Cuts. Part of that whole like new metal sort of like, revival.
And it's part of like Linkin Park going back into their catalog. So what they're doing is basically these are all the leftovers from from that era, from 2000 to 2023. These are all the singles that kind of never made it.
Okay.
The B-sides, the outtakes, the rarities.
Hey, but that's cool. I imagine there's some gems in there.
There are, and we're playing like one or two stuff. Of them on the bear, on the airwaves, yeah. And they're not bad. They're just, some are slower. Some are kind of like, it's not what you would typically think a Linkin Park song.
They weren't those anthems.
Right.
Those romantic anthems.
That screaming, yeah, screaming at you, like, you know, how you hate yourself or whatever.
Yeah.
Very emo. But no, they, surprisingly, Linkin Park had a lot of depth to them, but the stuff you hear on the radio, it's all the same vein, if that makes sense. Like,
I mean, of the, you know, I mean, I wasn't the biggest fan of a lot of new metal, but I would say of those bands, Linkin Park was definitely, I mean, they made beautiful music.
They did. And yeah. I feel like their lead singer, Chester, had a lot of talent compared to some of the other bands in that genre, you know? And they had a lot more depth to them, you know, I feel like.
Maybe not compared to Fred Durst, but it was pretty good.
Can't hold a candle to him.
Hold a candle
to him. I know, man. He's a tough one. You're going to love this one here.
Oh, yes! Necrode. Lifeless bird. Oh, that's a sad.
Yeah.
Good gosh.
Isn't that horrible?
Oh, gosh.
It's like the...
done me dirty. How?
Look at this.
And
like
he,
this...
like, pulling him out and eating him. Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that the worst? Yeah.
Wow.
The vinyl's
that,
nice.
I wonder, is that like a, what do you call it? This reminds me of, like Greek mythology.
Paimon, kind of devil.
Like Greek mythology where, like, Cronus, like, remember the Titans? Or, like, it's inside of his head and you have to, like, bust his head open.
Who knows? It's probably just some dude smoked a joint and thought of that.
Yeah. Dude, I have this idea.
Yeah, with, like, all the people coming out of the devil's crotch and they're just, like, eating him.
Do you even know what... name me three crazy songs.
Give me three Necrot songs.
Come on. Nest Endeavors.
Yeah.
That one looks sad.
Yeah, it does. That looks like a really bad.
Yeah, that's like not.
Really
that's
bad
not
area.
What I want to see. North Lane. There you go. North Lane.
Hey.
Of course Utah would like that. It looks like a Trapper Keeper cover. Right?
That is the tree, yeah. The
Trapper Keeper
vinyl
cover.
Edition, too. It's like the same, like, what was that
Mirror's
artist?
Edge.
What was the name of the artist?
Escher?
No. It's like,
Oh, there was actually, I don't know.
Yeah, it was like an artist.
Prancing on a
it was like
a grid.
Sara Lee or something like that. Oh, man. I can't.
Or, oh, no, I know what you're saying. Lisa Frank. Yeah, Lisa. I was like Anne Frank.
It. I know. Lisa Frank.
Lisa Frank.
Look that up, kids. If you're like, what are these boomers talking about? Lisa Frank posters, Trapper Keepers from the 90s.
Yeah.
You'll thank us later. All right.
Riot 5. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Mean Street.
I guess.
Okay, that one is good.
Yeah, this one looks like.
So that's a panda bear.
It is a panda bear and his panda wife. In the apocalypse with a gang of pandas.
Dude,
rolling
that
through
one is good.
Rolling through a barrier.
Just like knocking it.
He's
all
got like
to
a bottle
smithereens.
Of liquor. He's got like a bottle of liquor, and this one has like a sword.
Yes.
See, this
See,
is the type
that
of,
is the
you know,
energy we need.
Now and
right?
This is what we're talking about with the metal shit. If
love
I saw
that.
That on a shirt or a poster, I'd be like, that's fucking rad.
Yeah,
I would love to get that.
Yeah.
Because it's good, you know, it just catches your eye, man.
Riot
People are gonna
five.
Ask about
Riot
it.
5. I'm gonna go look
shout out
music
to them
now.
Good stuff.
All right. Set your sails.
Yep.
Bad Blood.
Bunch of eyeballs.
Yeah, eyeballs. That was pretty cool. Punk vibe. Tarot, Glimpse of the Dawn.
This one's kind of neat. It's like a
eagle head,
like the
there.
Eagle-headed fawn.
Yeah,
man.
Like a centaur, eagle centaur sort of a thing.
In the new walking
triad, his mid legs are made out of trees.
Oh, that's
too.
Right. Yes,
dude,
see?
That's a yeah,
kinda trippy.
That's a combination. Tire,
I guess. You yeah, know? Or tier.
Tier,
I don't
maybe?
Know.
Battle ballads.
Look at this one. There's a lot going on in this one. They got like a Kraken taking down a Viking ship.
Yeah.
We have like the people like praying to
There's
the Viking
a lot of
gods.
Adobe Illustrator in this one there. Yeah. It's like, oh, dude, turn
look
on
at,
the metal,
at,
like the metal.
Put AI, this is what they told AI.
Oh,
they're
yeah,
like,
AI,
put a wolf with a moon
like
in
moon
the mouth of
mouth.
The moon. And with the city
yeah,
burning.
Yeah, the Kraken is, it's like a Viking ship.
Pretty cool. A lot going on there.
Yeah.
All right.
The Vision, Bleak, Weird Tales.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I like that.
This is one of my favorites here.
Vulture, Sentinels.
I just love how it's like the hands of
the
fate.
The hands of fate.
You know, like playing
with a
chess knife.
And it's literally stabbed someone.
It looks like it's cut them
off. Queen or
yeah.
the king or something?
Cut off their head or something.
Half or yeah, cut a head off.
And the sands of time are running low.
And then the and I like that they're. Yeah, I mean, gosh,
that's
I like
good,
that.
Right?
I like the font on there.
Yep.
Anytime it looks like a shiny, like a metal,
and they have
letter.
Like the yep the metal like it's.
Like
riveted.
It's riveted, and then it has, and it's also like a cross or a sword.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, for the T there.
Yeah, that is true to form.
They're German heavy metal, too. I
Are they?
Out. Yeah, so there you go, Vulture.
No sentinels.
All right, some movie, TV, entertainment news. Check out Sammy.
Oh, it's here.
It's coming. Sammy's Island. Sammy Hagar's Oasis at the Palms Pool. We're just going to miss this, man. It sucks. Like, we're going to be at the Palms. For Vegas.
Really?
Yeah, we're
when?
At this coming next week for the Rockabilly show for the
dude,
car show.
And this is May 17th.
I know, we're
going
to miss
there.
It. We're going to miss it, dude. I could have reported on Sammy's beach paradise or whatever.
Now, what was it we were hearing a while ago? Is this the reveal?
This is the Vegas collaboration.
This is the Vegas collaboration.
So this is his beach thing that they're going to do at the Palms Resort now. It's called Sammy's Island. And so
he's doing music as well.
So yeah, they're gonna have like his Cabo Wabo stuff. They're gonna have like a new menu, and then he's gonna be doing music every now and then. But I guess like they have a band called it's a Hagar tribute band called Red Voodoo.
And then he pops out there and
hey, I'm Sammy. What's up, guys?
But he doesn't have to do the whole thing,
right?
Look at that.
Making money, man. And it's a partnership he has with Rick Springfield, this beach bar rum. That was able to like make this deal happen. So it's a tropical cocktail tiki bar kind of thing, you know? You can
Look
purchase a
that.
Cabana, bungalow, lily pad, poolside bar.
Living it up.
Pretty cool though, huh? Good for Sammy, man. That's the kind of stuff I would want to be doing at that point in my career, right?
What's David Lee Roth gonna have to say about this?
Yeah, right. That's a great point, dude. Where's David Lee Roth's poolside fucking
Seems
cabana
to be like,
shit?
This jerk. He was eating his.
He got probed by the alien.
His fish tacos.
Got probed by an alien.
Yeah.
Fucking David Lee Roth, man. Anyway, good for Sammy, man. I want to check it out maybe next year. Or if you guys are looking to get to Vegas this summer, check it out. All right, this is our last story news from around the world. This was a pretty cool thing for a good cause. A French athlete has broken a new record by pulling herself up to the second floor of the Eiffel Tower using just a rope. So
oh God.
Check this out, dude. It's like the rope we used to go in junior high, right?
Oh, man.
Anouk Garnier, described as an obstacle course world champion and Olympic torchbearer. So she is definitely
high caliber athlete.
Yeah. She broke the record for greatest height climbed by rope. 377 feet, dude.
No, thank you.
That is crazy.
The Eiffel Tower is really tall.
It's huge. This is just the beginning of it, like the part that goes up to the. So the previous record, she beat it. She shattered the record. She says she climbed up to the second floor of the Eiffel Tower.
Garnier.
Yeah, she says, can't even believe it actually happened. Previous records were held by South African Thomas van Tonder in the men's category. Only 90 meters. She beat it by 20 meters. So, like,
wow.
A very significant beat.
Just a rope.
And Ida Mathilde Stensgaard was the woman who held this record, only 26 meters in the women's category.
Really?
She absolutely shattered
She's
that.
Destroyed it.
With 110.
Gosh.
Isn't that amazing? She spent a year training for this, and she told the Times of London. She would pause at times to breathe, and the act was visibly straining. She told the publication, my mother has cancer, and it was important for me to surpass my limits for a good cause, close to my heart, to help cancer research.
So she is French.
Yes. French wow. athlete.
Well, that is, that. I mean, to me, it's just, that's just terrifying. I'm amazed. I mean, I watched like a reel on Instagram of like parkour people jumping from building rooftop to building rooftop, and my toes tingle.
I know.
And I almost faint.
She has a, you could tell she has a, some kind of a security kind of harness or something, but still.
It's really mostly just like her
it's
foot.
It's freeform,
though.
Yeah, it's freeform. It's
she's
like.
She's got the rope wrapped around her foot. And
pretty
she's
wild,
like,
huh?
That's tough, man.
Good for her, and it's all for a good cause. So
that's cool.
Hats off to you. All right, that's it for us this week, guys. Check us out, of course, rocknewsweekly.com. Everything at Rock News Weekly as far as socials and YouTube, all that good stuff. And tune in, watch us live on Twitch every Sunday, twitch.tv/rocknewsweekly. And we will see you guys next week. Thanks. Have a good one.
See you later.
Peace. Bye-bye.